Pump up the volume on your parenting with Parent Pump Radio. Tune into something different that makes a difference. At Parent Pump Radio, instead of a ripple, we choose to create a splash. Get energized, get inspired, and get informed with how to parent in the new millennium. With your host and parent coach super guide, Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen.
Hi, this is Jacqueline T.D. Nguyen. We're here to pump up your parenting skills, pump up your knowledge, and pump up your energy. Welcome to Parent Pump Radio. Our show is available on iTunes, Google Play, and Stitcher, and syndicated on missionsradio.org and liveleadplay.com. My Amazon number one best-selling book called The Amazing Itty Bitty Book on Family Leadership is a key to creating a family that's productive, harmonious, and unified in values, missions, visions, and goals. The family structure and foundation is the number one defense against teenage substance abuse, pregnancy, depression, stress, and so much more. So pick up your book. The link is in the show notes. And this book is going to help parents change their mindset. It's going to help parents make a conscious choice on their family foundation, structure, and culture. The great thing is it's just 30 pages long because I know how busy all of us parents are. Check the show notes for the link to purchase the book. Today, we have a great guest, and our topic is going to be about how to increase our teens' confidence. The better confidence they have, the more resilient they're going to build to deal with what's coming at them. So our guest today is a multi-award-winning author, and she is also a good friend of mine. She's a speaker, nurse practitioner, and founder of Healing Minds and Teen Confidence Academy. She is very passionate about her commitment to guiding young women to achieve remarkable success in their academic, personal, and professional lives. Through private sessions, group workshops, and keynote engagement, she teaches that success and happiness that's achievable by all, regardless of current struggles and circumstances. She's a gifted and energetic leader. She dedicated her life's work to help her clients and students transform into happy, confident, and successful people. And in her downtime, she loves traveling America in her motorhome, hiking with her dog, and swallowing her cat. So ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce you to my good friend, Jackie Latron. Hi, Jackie.
Hey, Jackie. I always love it when we talk because of our name.
No, you find very few Jackies in the world.
Yes. And when we connect the way that we do, it is awesome that we have the same name too. So thank you so much for having me in the show today.
Oh, you're welcome. So you can find Jackie at her website. It's J-A-C-Q-U-I Latron, LETRAN.com. It's also in the show notes. Tell me what you've been up to. I know you have been so busy and you're going to be going internationally to teach, right?
Yes, I have been incredibly busy and it's a wonderful way to spend my time. So right now what I'm doing that is keeping me so busy is I am about to start writing my third book. And I have a launch date for, my goal is for late fall. I'm hoping for mid-November. And I plan on starting it this coming week. So it doesn't leave me a whole lot of time to do everything I need to do. But I'm doing a challenge for myself. And I think it'll be really, really fun to see that whole process through that way. In addition, I'm also going to China to teach for 4 weeks. And I'm teaching at the World Academy for the Future of Women in China. It's more about leaderships and how to help these young women step up into that leadership role by really helping them develop that self-confidence, self-love, and their willingness and courageousness to put themselves out there as a world leader. So I'm really excited about both projects.
Let's take a step back then. Like, where'd you get this passion? Tell us a little about yourself and what made you go down this path.
Yeah, I can definitely do that. So you know me, I'm very, very passionate about helping young people to become really successful. And I have a special interest in helping young teen girls because I was there myself. I was definitely one of those troubled kids. I would imagine, you know, everybody who knew me back then would say that I was very, very troubled. And if there was a category in school for most likely to fail at life, I might have won that category.
Oh, no. Well, you definitely proved that one wrong.
Yes. But for a long time, I actually believed it because, you know, the decisions I made led me there. And the decisions I made were all because I felt horrible about myself. My self-esteem was really, really low. I was always anxious. I was really depressed. I saw life as a really hostile, awful place to be. And with depression, it's kind of interesting. A lot of people with depression, they would withdraw within themselves. But the way that I show my depression was with anger. So I became this really angry person who didn't care about the laws, who just walked around with a big chip on my shoulder. By the time I was 16, I dropped out of high school because I was pregnant. At 16, being an unwed, pregnant teenager on public assistance, I definitely earned that title, didn't I?
Cute. So glad you turned out differently.
Yes, and I definitely have my son to thank. I definitely do not recommend teenagers to get pregnant. But for me, it worked out okay. Because the moment I saw my son, his little fingers, his eyes, his smile, everything about him was so perfect. And I think for the first time in my life when I saw him, I felt this immense love that I didn't even know was possible, that I didn't know could even exist. So when I looked in his eyes, everything changed for me. I knew it was up to me to stop this pattern that I was in and do what I can to give him the life that he deserved. And that is what brought me onto this journey of self-love, of learning how to love myself, you know, first learning how to like myself, and then learning how to love myself and really changing my mindset. And it was a very painful journey. It was a hard journey. But I learned so much along the way. And that is why I'm so incredibly passionate about sharing all of this. Because the funny thing, maybe not so funny, but for me, funny now, looking back as a teenager, I thought my life sucked. I thought everything about my life was incredibly terrible. But as an adult, as a healed adult who loves myself so completely, looking back, I had it pretty good. I wasn't homeless. I wasn't abused. I wasn't forced to work long hours or any of that. But it was my mindset. It was my belief system that caused me to have the reality that I did back then. I'm here to share what I've learned and hopefully help one, two, or several more teens to have a different outcome.
Yeah. So let's talk about that belief, because you're right. Our mindset, what we believe in, makes our reality. What is the belief? I know you have four beliefs that are destroying teens' confidence. Let's talk about that.
Yes. I love, love, love talking about this topic. I work a lot with teens, but these four beliefs actually affect all of us, regardless of age and regardless of sex. And the four beliefs that really hold us back are these four. The first one is I'm not enough. And that could be I'm not enough of anything. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough. I'm not talented enough. I'm not nice enough. I'm not successful enough. The second belief is I'm not worthy. Because you have this misbelief of I'm not enough of something, you tend to also have a belief then I don't deserve this other thing. The third belief is I'm not loved or not lovable. And the fourth belief is I'm not safe. And when we talk about I'm not safe, that could be I'm not physically safe or I'm not emotionally safe. It covers both areas.
Wow. I think at one time or another, I've thought about it, and I'm sure other people, not even women, probably men, have brought those beliefs up in their head.
Most definitely. And I don't care who you are. You can be the most successful person today. You know, you can be the healthiest mindset today. There will still be moments in your life where you would briefly entertain those belief systems. The problem is when we get trapped into believing them and we allow those beliefs to hold us back. But it is very natural to go in and out of it, right? Because let's say you mentioned I have a couple awards for my books. Well, there's other people who have a bunch more awards, bigger, better awards. And I can definitely temporarily go, oh my gosh, I'm not where they are. I'm not good enough. Or maybe even question, do I deserve these awards that I have? Maybe I'm not worthy of them. As long as those thoughts are just very, very fleeting. And you use that thought as more as an indicator of, okay, so there's something, you know, about myself or about my life that I can definitely work to make better. And you put the energy and effort onto that. You don't have to be held back by those beliefs.
I know when I get these beliefs, it's because of my dedication and of all my learnings and how to see it as a belief and turn it around. For those who don't understand it, where do these beliefs come from?
So the first thing that you need to understand about belief system is that the majority of your beliefs about who you are as a person and what the world is like was created when you were such a little kid, maybe before the age of 8 years old. I mean, that's crazy. Things that happen to you as a little child, is still running in the background of your mind and it holds you back. So usually the belief system gets created through two main pathways. And the first one is significant emotional events. The second one is repetition. So let's look at an example of what a significant emotional event could look like. So Jackie and listening audience, I would love for you for right now to imagine you're a three-year-old child and you're in your room playing with your toys. And if you're like most three-year-old, when you play, you just make this big mess, right? You throw your toys all around and it's everywhere. Now let's imagine you have a very mean mother. She walks into the room and see this big mess you make, and she starts wagging her fingers at you and yelling at you, telling you, you know, you're such a bad girl. And let's pretend she slapped you across the face. That's definitely a significant emotional event, isn't it?
Yep, it is.
Yes, because a moment ago you were having so much fun and all of a sudden you're in physical pain. You're scared out of your mind. Your mom is yelling at you. She's telling you you're a bad girl. What are you going to believe?
And at that age, you don't really know any difference and your mom is supposed to know it all. So you believe that somehow you're bad.
Exactly, right? And from one incident like that, you can create so many belief systems surrounding that. So in that example I just gave, you know, you can definitely believe I'm a bad person because mom told me so and she knows everything. You can create a belief system. It's not safe for me to have fun because every time I have fun, I get hurt. If this is something that has occurred before, you could create a belief system of I don't deserve good things because all I do is upset mom. And I'm such an unlovable person. Even my mom doesn't love me. Right? And that just from one incident, you can create all of those four belief systems. Now let's talk about repetition and how that create belief system. So look at the same exact example again. You're three, you make that big mess, and your mom walks in and she just looked at the mess and she says, you know what? Your room is messy. You're being a bad girl. Clean up. And she walks out. She didn't hit you. She didn't yell at you. But maybe later on that evening, she says, you didn't make the table yet. You're a bad girl. You haven't showered. You're a bad girl. You didn't do your homework. You're a bad girl. And hearing that you're a bad girl, you're a bad girl, you're a bad girl all the time will also create the belief system the same way as a significant emotional event can create the belief system. And once a belief system gets created, it goes into your subconscious mind and it stays there for the rest of your life.
that subconscious mind door just shuts.
Yes. How do you like that? From one incident like that, it stays with you for the rest of your life unless you want to do something about it, unless you're willing to do something about it. And that belief that is hanging in the background of your mind, it acts like a program for your subconscious mind. It basically tells your subconscious mind, this is what I believe in, and I want you to look for evidence to support my belief system.
Right. And this is why a lot of people plan for goals and they set for diets and money, right? And they don't get there because subconscious mind says you're not good enough to make $100,000 a year. You're not good enough to look good.
Exactly. And, you know, the thing is, the subconscious mind is actually, a lot of people, they have this perception of the subconscious mind is a terrible, horrible thing trying to harm you and hold you back. It's not. Your subconscious mind is actually very loving. Your subconscious mind's biggest job is to keep you safe. Unfortunately, the way the subconscious mind thinks safe is really is do not change. Stay exactly the way you are because if you try to change, you will put yourself at risk for hurt, for rejection, for failure. And I'm going to protect you against all of that. I'm going to keep you right here in this little box where you are safe. So when you want to do something, when you're like, you know what? I want to lose that weight. I deserve to lose that weight. And that's a conscious thought. That's something you want to do logically. And the moment you start taking action, your subconscious mind goes, no, he's going to fail. She's going to get rejected. She's going to be hurt. We don't want that. Yeah. And so start throwing out those belief systems and you're not going to sit there and, you know, necessary here. You're not good enough. You know, don't do it. You're going to fail anyway. All you're going to know is that you feel uncomfortable. You feel so uncomfortable that, you know what, that cheeseburger actually might be okay.
Yep, yep.
It's very comforting. Every time I eat that cheeseburger, that ice cream, that chip, I always feel better.
Right. The subconscious mind runs over 90% of your body's function.
Yes. And, you know, again, it's trying to protect you. And a very juvenile way because
yeah,
but it's come from love. I just want you to know that. And you can do something about that. You can work on reprogramming your subconscious mind so that the next time you are looking to do something, rather than having that, no, don't do it, kind of like, all right, let's do it.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. How do we get our subconscious mind to work for us and help us? How do we change these beliefs?
So the first thing you need to do is to actually be aware of these belief systems. If you don't know anything about it, you know, you're just going to run the same program. So the next time that you have something that comes up, challenge it. Really ask yourself, really? Where did that come from? Where did I learn that? Who told me? Is that true today?
Is it true right now? Is it true for me?
Right. And because, you know, those belief systems, when they were created back then when you were a child, you know, it might help you to avoid pain back then, yes, but now it's holding you back and you're not doing and being the person you truly are today. You become so incongruent with your true self. And that's when the anxiety and the depression and all of that come about. So the first thing, you know, is just to be aware of your thoughts and your feelings and start challenging them and see what comes up. And in the very beginning, when you start challenging them, you might get the answer of, yeah, these are true. Yeah, you know, it's relevant right now. Yes, this is the truth right now, because that is really that instinctual knee-jerk reaction that is still from your subconscious mind, right?
Yep, yep.
One of the things that I teach all the time, and one of the things that I think is so important, is to learn how to be calm.
Absolutely.
Yes, I think that is such a...
It quiets that monkey mind.
Most definitely, right? The monkey's like trying to get attention, trying to throw poo at you and all of that. And you're like, no.
Shh. Yeah.
How cool is that, right? And so that's what I teach is, again, becoming aware of your thoughts and your feelings and then just calming your mind down. And being calm is actually very easy to get to. A lot of people think, you know what, these thoughts control me. I mean, these thoughts, when they start racing, there's nothing I can do. And that is wrong. The only reason right now that you're having these racing thoughts that you believe you cannot control is because you haven't been taught how to control them. This is not something that people teach in school. It should be taught in school. It should be taught to every first and second grader and reinforce as you grow up. But we were never taught that, right?
Yeah.
We might have been told like, oh, you know, just let it go. Well, how do you let it go? No one ever tell you, well, to let it go, you do A, B, C, and D. They just tell you, let it go, and you can't let it go. And then you develop shame surrounding that. And then it just perpetuates this whole pattern of negativities. Learning how to stay calm, learning how to be calm is incredibly important.
Yeah, and there's many ways of doing it, right? I mean, obviously, the try and true way that we always hear about is meditation and centering. But I know there are people who use many different techniques, from music to going for a walk to just being with their pets. I know you love your pets.
And actually, that is one of my calming things, is my pets. They are babies. They're not pets. That's a difference. That's a different podcast altogether.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, I know there are people, they say that when they're petting their cats on their lap, it really changes their rhythm. Or they're just throwing the ball aimless with their dog, just throwing it, and it becomes this pattern. Their mind calms down. I'm a big believer, too, of getting centered, getting calm, so that you can really hear that inner voice, because it's that deep inner voice that will quiet that monkey mind.
Yes.
So how can someone learn how to stay calm? Because you talked about the ABCs.
Definitely. So before we go there, I kind of want to touch back on what you said just now about, you know, aimlessly throwing a ball or petting your cat and all of that. Those are absolutely wonderful if you are present in the moment, because you can be petting your cat and still be in your head thinking how horrible you are and how undeserving
you are. Good
point.
Good point. Right? Yeah.
And now you're petting your cat and your cat don't want to be near you because you just depress your cat.
Yeah. Good point. Right.
So it's about using these other tools that I'll mention in a little bit here that's going to help you as you're doing other things. And the most important thing that you can do is to be present, right? There's a lot of research and a lot of talk about mindfulness.
Yeah.
Being mindful is just being very intentional, very purposeful on where you're putting your attention and your thoughts and all of that. For a lot of people, it's a challenge in the beginning because they have practice, and that's the key. They have practice focusing on negative thoughts, focusing on negative feelings, and staying in their mind and creating worst case scenarios and bringing back stories from their past and beating themselves up for that. They have practiced that over and over and over again. So the idea is to practice something new. And so going back to your subconscious mind, I love, love, love talking about the subconscious mind, because once you understand it, it makes everything so easy. Mm-hmm. So your subconscious mind cannot have two opposing emotions. You cannot be anxious and calm, right? You cannot be angry and calm. And what you focus your energy and your thought on, you're basically telling your subconscious mind, this is the experience that I want right now. And you, subconscious mind, you are my assistant. Go give me this experience. Okay. So I want you to think about it that way. Your subconscious mind is your assistant, and you just haven't been giving your assistant the commands that truly create the results you're looking for. So from today moving forward, you can start using this. And so it's as simple as choosing to be calm. So let's say, you know, you're fighting with a friend and you're just really angry and upset, and you recognize, okay, I'm really angry and upset. And you might not even know why you're so upset, because the conversation wasn't even all that, you know, dramatic or anything, but you're really upset. It's because that conversation just triggered something from your past, triggered one of your belief system, and you're reacting from that space. So rather than engaging in, you know, that anger or saying things that you're going to regret down the road, in that very moment, choose to be calm. And it's as simple as repeating to yourself over and over and over again, I choose to be calm. I am calm. I am calm. I am calm. And now I know that sounds too easy for it to work, but it does work. Because what you're doing is this, you're being present in the moment. You're being purposeful with where you're putting your thoughts and your feelings. And that is into being calm. You're using a calming voice, talking to yourself. And you can do this in your head. You don't have to say it in front of your friend, right? That might look kind of goofy.
Yeah.
But it might actually break up that fight. but I recommend you doing this in your head, or, you know, excusing yourself and removing yourself physically from your friend's presence and taking care of yourself. And as you're repeating, I am calm over and over again, in your mind, imagine you doing something that calms you down. If that's petting your cat, as you're repeating, I am calm, you're petting your cat, right? Because you're not petting your cat and thinking, I'm a horrible person. You're thinking, I am calm.
You can imagine even a picture. Like, I just imagine the blue ocean.
Yes.
Because, you know, when you're in the ocean laying on your back, you're in that moment enjoying that sun on you, feeling that water on you. There's something amazing about water for me.
Definitely. And whatever it is that is amazing for you, calming you down, imagine yourself there. Imagine yourself doing that. You know, if it's hiking, be on a beautiful hike.
Yes.
If it's listening to music, imagine yourself listening to that favorite song. Whatever it is that calms you down, imagine yourself doing that. And as you imagine yourself doing that, bring in as much sensory as you possibly can.
Yes.
See it, touch it, taste it, hear it, feel it. Your subconscious mind doesn't know the difference between real or imagined. So to your subconscious mind, if you think about it, if you're feeling it, if you're doing it, it's all happening in this moment. Rather than being in that moment of negativity, you shift your mind into a moment of calmness. And your mind can shift you there so easily because you're giving your mind one simple command. The problem is when we get anxious or angry, we tend to have more angry thoughts, right?
Yep.
And we're sitting there and we're like racking our brain for more incidences that will support our anger. And our subconscious mind at the same time is just scanning the environment and is looking for evidence that will cause us to be more angry, because we're the boss and we're given the command of anger. So your subconscious mind will do everything it can to bring that to you, because every thought you have, every feeling you have, every word you say is a command to your mind. This is the experience I want. Give me this experience.
And I also find if you're searching for something, to put it out there too, like, what is the most loving thing I can do right now? And your subconscious, it's a command. It'll look for it. I mean, I say this because as a parent, sometimes our children touches those buttons that we never knew we had before. And instead of lashing out, like you gave that example earlier, yelling at your child or getting physical with them, you stay calm and you say, what's the most loving thing that I can do right now?
And that's beautiful, because again, every word you say, every thought you have, every feeling you have is that command. This is the experience I want to have. Give this to me. And your subconscious mind processes information so much quicker than your conscious logical mind. And they can see things and remember things that you have no clue of, right?
Yep.
If you're asking, how can I be loving? Your subconscious mind is flipping that tape and it's going to look for past things you've done that were loving and show that to you as memories. And it's going to look around the environment. And you now might see your kid sitting there, and instead of looking defiant like you saw a moment ago, you might look at her and see she's lost.
Yeah.
The most loving thing you can do right there is to help her to feel safe, right?
Yeah.
Because every single action your child have, or you have, or other people in your life have, every single action, no matter how horrible it is to fulfill a need that they have at that moment. And they might not be acting in a way that is perfectly healthy, but they're trying to fulfill a need. And if you're willing to stay calm and ask that question, how can I be loving? You know, what kind of needs are they needing to be fulfilled right now?
Yeah.
And you're willing to step into that and give that to them. How amazing is that? How cool is that for you to be that person for your child or for yourself?
Absolutely. You've given such great insights and help. And I know you have these in your books. If the listeners want to know more, get more, let's talk about the two books that you have out, because you have won many amazing awards on them. So let's talk about your first book, I Would, But My Damn Mind Won't Let Me. I love that title. I know it's won the 2016 Literary Classics Lumen Award for Best Young Adults Nonfiction Book of the Year and the 2016 Reader's Favorite Gold Medal Award for Young Adults Nonfiction. Just tell us in 30 seconds what this book is about.
Sure. So this is basically a primer to your mind. How does your mind work? How to understand it? How to start taking control of it? And it goes more deeply into the four belief systems.
Awesome. And then your second book is 5 Simple Questions to Reclaim Your Happiness. I love it. It's a 2017 Literary Classics Gold Medal winner in the Young Adult Self-Help Book category. And can you sum it up in about 30 seconds too?
Oh yeah, in 30 seconds is how to be happy. You don't have to hold on to those negative feelings or thoughts. And going through these 5 questions help you to evaluate them and help you to understand them, so that you can release them a lot quicker. I do have to make a confession though.
Okay.
The five simple question is actually my first book, and The Damn Mind is my second book.
Oh, it is. Okay.
It is. The reason that The Damn Mind seemed like is my first book is when I wrote both of those books together, I was just madly in love with The Damn Mind book.
Okay.
I mean, that is what I do all the time. So I promoted that, and the five simple question was kind of left in the back burner. And then a few months ago, I said, you know what? This is good. This book is good. And I need to rewrite it to the point where I can be proud of it. So I rewrote it, add a bunch of things in there, add a bunch of activities for readers to actually process their emotions, and relaunched it recently. And that's why it feels like it's my second book, but it's my first.
Oh, okay. Well, you can get both of Jackie's book on her website at Jackie Latran. That's J-A-C-Q-U-I. LETRAN.com. The link is also in the show notes. So how do these books help with the DIY approach?
The do-it-yourself approach is an awesome way to help you with a lot of stuff, right? And I think, you know, the first thing is really about just the understanding. A lot of people can tell you, well, do this. And if you don't understand why you're doing this, you're not going to really know when to do this on a consistent basis. But if you understand, okay, when I do this, my mind hears this. So I don't want that result. But when I do this, my mind hears that, and I want this result, then you're more willing to take charge and do those things. So that I would, but my damn mind won't let me, is that primer, like I said, teach you about your mind, and so that you can start really being the boss of your mind and give your mind the commands that you really want. And the other book, too, is, again, really understanding our feelings, because oftentimes, how many times, Jackie, have you said, I don't know why I feel that way. I just feel that way.
That's just the way it is.
It's just the way it is. That's just how I feel. I can't change how I feel. Wrong. You can, in fact, change how you feel. Your feeling is just simply, you know, a knee-jerk reaction to things that happened in the past. And it may not be relevant if you choose to pause and re-examine it. And so that book, 5 Simple Questions, really help you to pause and re-examine it and to understand, where did that negative feeling even come from in the first place? So that you can take charge of that and change how you approach the situation.
Yeah, I read a quote somewhere where it says, the answer comes from the right questions.
I love that, right? And what movie was that from, way back when?
I don't remember. I don't want to age us.
I know. I'm leaving that one alone.
But I love that quote because it's true. You just got to get that right question and the answer will come. So So I love that you have really taught us more about our subconscious mind, and think of it as our friend, not our enemy, because this is so powerful and it basically is controlling over 90% of our body. We got to make it our friend.
Oh, yeah. And be in control of it, because this is your life.
Yep.
You can either choose to live your life or let your life live you.
Yeah. And if you have beliefs that are destroying or holding you back in any way, you can change all of that. This is what this episode is about. And if you have kids or teens that you feel need help, contact Jackie. She's wonderful. So we have to wrap up soon, but any new projects or upcoming things that you want to announce to the listeners?
Yeah, definitely. I mentioned it briefly in the beginning, and I'm working on that third book, and this will complete the series, which is called the Words of Wisdom for Teens series. This one is called How to Unleash Your Inner Superpowers. We all have inner superpowers that we were born with, that regardless of what the situation looks like right now, it's still within us. When I write this book, the goal is to really help people to understand what they are and how to consistently tap into them so that you can destroy that negative self-talk, the self-doubt, and all those uncertainty that you have about yourself. I'm going to start writing that book this coming weekend, so wish me luck there. And if you want to join my launch team and be in the know of what I'm doing, because I'm going to be sharing everything I'm doing with my launch team, you definitely can sign up to be a part of my launch team member. And it's on my JackieLatran.com website. Just go there and look for the Inner Superpower VIP launch team. Click on that, put in your email address, and you'll get all the information.
There you go. And you can also email Jackie at success@JackieLatran, JackieLatran.com with any questions or comments. So thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and your inspiration. And I wish you a lot of success in China, but just make sure you come back.
Yeah, thank you. It was a lot of fun talking with you and sharing this topic that I'm so passionate about. And I have every intention on coming back. And you know that because my pets will be here.
That's a good point. And your son just got married. You got to be back here for him.
You notice how I mentioned the pet first and not my son.
Yeah, like, I know.
But they know I love them.
And they came after too.
My son and my husband know 100% how much I love them. So I'm solid there.
Okay, awesome. And thank you, listeners. Always be learning and always be growing. Thank you so much for joining us today. Go to parentpumpradio.com and click on the pink box on the top of our homepage to listen to our new and archived shows. To be instantly notified of new episodes, subscribe to our RSS feed. The RSS feed button is located at the top of the page where all our shows are featured. And after listening to the show, go to parentpumpradio.com or our Facebook page to leave your comments, questions, and topic suggestions. And while you're at our website, sign up to receive a free gift. Until next time, have a wonderful week.